Okay, boys and girls, Fish and Frank back here in the chair, and I got Captain Carl with me today. Yeah, we're going to talk about fishing and what's going on, where it's going on, why it's going on, what's going on, and all the rest of that stuff. Morning, Captain Carl.
Morning. How you doing?
Or afternoon. Morning. It's 5:30 at night.
Yeah. I just got off the boat, so it's kind of like the morning.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we want to go into what we were talking about, or do you just want to go on to happier stuff?
We can go into what we were talking about, perhaps.
Okay. No, I meant your altercations at the boat ramp. I mean, it's just, you know. Yeah, I it might be better.
I don't know if I want to get started on that.
Yeah, get you all wound up again. Let me just put it this way. The reason we have limits and size limits and bag limits is not about what you're not allowed to have. That's not the reason for the size and bag limits. It's not the reason for the enforcement. The reason for the enforcement of size limits and bag limits is about what your children and your children's children will have. And that's how we look at it. That's a big part of how FWC looks at it. It's not always how the laws are made or why they're made. But for those of us who do this all the time, and fishing is what we do, how we relax and how we enjoy ourselves, the size and bag limits do not restrict what we are allowed to keep. They do not tell me how little I can have or that I cannot have something. It tells me what my kids and my grandkids will have. That's the way we look at the size and bag limits. And so if you catch an oversized fish, it's not that you cannot have that fish. It's that your kids can, your grandkids can, their kids can. These are the things that we have to learn as a society. It's not about you all the time. Yep. It's not, you know, the idea is it's about everybody, and it's about letting some for the next group that comes along. We had our fun. We're having our fun. We should be allowed to pass along. For my entire childhood and stuff, we were taught that the best thing you can do is make the world a better place for the following generations. Future. Yeah, you want your kids to have a better life than what you had. That's why you worked hard. That's why you got a job. That's why you half killed yourself to make sure all this happens. And part of that comes with fish too. When you're going out and you see a big fish, an oversized fish, or you've got your legal limit, and you're thinking, oh, it's not about what you can or cannot have. It's about what you're allowing them to have. So, anyway, on a fresher, lighter note, and I will get off that rant, and everybody always likes it when I stop ranting, yes, okay, Frank's done, all right, yes, and all right, Captain Carl, fishing right now has been, you know, and I've said this in the last three shows, it should be horrible. This should be some of the worst fishing we've ever had, considering how hot the water is, how much fresh water's running down, the storms we've had, the fronts that are going through, all the rest of this. Can you tell me one reason why the fishing should be good?
No.
Okay. But now, on the other hand, how many fish did you catch today?
We probably put 60, 70 fish on the boat today.
All right, you caught 60 or 70 fish. Redfish?
Redfish, snook, snapper, a couple flounder.
Okay, so you had a really good day, right? So everything we know is wrong.
Yes.
There's nothing I can think of where I should be saying, you know, Carl, and not be surprised that you caught, you know, 60 fish today on your charter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where's the logic in all this? I don't get it. 2016 is just screwed up.
It is. Okay. I mean, it's totally off.
It's totally off. And
the hottest month of the year, and it's fishing is one of the best it's been.
Yeah, and I don't get it. Even in places it shouldn't. You're finding fish on the flats. You're finding them in the canals. You're finding them all over the place, places where you would never normally go this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm finding a lot, like on this low water, I'm finding fish where I would find in the wintertime out in the flats. It doesn't make sense. They should be buried up underneath the bushes, you know, in the shade where it's cooler. But they're out, you know. There's quite a few redfish schools that are running around the flats right now, tailing everywhere. it's mind-boggling. I don't know what's going on, but I mean, I'm not complaining.
No, there's nothing to complain about. Everything's good.
Yes.
That's what we don't get. It's all good. You know, and I was talking about this on a couple of the other shows as well, is that the people who are having trouble are the people who are doing what they did last year, expecting to find fish there this year.
No. It's your normal patterns aren't the same from the past couple of years to this year. I don't know if it's because of El Nino that we had or what. It's a mystery, but I mean...
We're blaming El Nino. I mean, it's a weird year,
yep.
But the fishing's really good. But if you were relying on what you've done for the last few years to do it this year, it's not going to work.
Throw the books out.
You got to change what you're doing. You got to change how you're fishing, where you're fishing. Got to mix it up. This is not the year where you can sit in the same spot you sat in for the last 3 years and caught fish.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're really lucky.
I'm actually looking, like, in my book, I'm looking like a month or two ahead. And that's where I'm fishing at right now. Like what I would fish in a couple months, that's where I'm fishing now. I mean, the redfish, they're schooled up already. There's a lot of schools of redfish running around. I mean, they shouldn't be schooled up yet. It's way too hot. It's too early. But I mean, like yesterday, me and Mike Myers, we were out shark fishing together. We both had shark trips. My clients wanted to get a small enough shark to eat, but I mean, the smallest one we got yesterday was 7 foot. There's a lot of really big sharks still running around for some odd reason. I left, you know, shark fishing out there in Boca Grande.
See, to me, that I would expect, because of the lemons and the bulls, there's so many lemons and bull sharks at this time of year, I would expect big sharks. To me, that's kind of the normal thing. The unnormal thing is usually there's not enough sharks around this time of year. You can do some shark trips, but how many sharks, I mean...
Yesterday... My boat alone, we put 20 sharks on the boat.
See what I mean? That's what's weird. Going out and catching a few sharks in a day is not unheard of at this time of year. In fact, I would kind of assume it. Anywhere, you know, in that lower end of the harbor, Boca Grande, near Gulf, you know. But all the way up Cape Hayes, Marker 6, all through there. But we're hearing reports of sharks all the way up to Marker 1. But I'm just not... I'm just surprised by the sheer volume and sheer numbers.
I mean, there was three times yesterday we had double hookups on big sharks. You know, one, we'd break off on one, land the other one. I mean, it's a 7-8 foot shark. I mean, both rods would dump at one time. One going one way, one going the other way.
Wow.
I mean, me and Mike, we were both drifting next to each other. He'd hook up, I'd hook up. Vice versa, I'd hook up, he'd hook up at the same times. I mean, we're 30 yards apart from each other.
So they're running in kind of packs.
Yes. Yep. I mean, there's big ones out there.
I guess they're fish that we call it schools, but I don't know. Some reason or another, school of shark doesn't sound like...
Pack of sharks.
It's a pack of sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're thugs, you know? It's like a pack.
Yep. You know?
So, all right. I guess we got to ask, what were we using for bait?
I've been using Bonita. Bonita is one of my favorite shark baits. It literally stinks. It's very oily. I like to drift when I shark fish. Reason why is I'll set up, you know. Yesterday I was out in front of Turtle and Bull Bay shark fishing. I set up with what the tide's doing. If the tide's going out, I'm going to set up in front of Turtle Bay, and I'll start making my drift heading towards Bull Bay. Vice versa, if the tide's coming in, I'll set up in front of Bull Bay and drift towards Turtle. But Bonita, I mean, it's been working very good for me this year. Likely, I got a shark trip tomorrow. I got Bonita in the bucket out there, ready to go.
Oh yeah, no, he's all loaded up with the Bonita. This is no Bonita story. And no BS, like a Bonita story. This is actually really what he's doing.
And yesterday, when we got done shark fishing, we came in. I had two crabs left in the live well, left over from the day before his trip. And I was like, listen, I was like, we couldn't get a small enough shark to eat. I was like, we could probably go get a couple redfish. You know, I run up in Bull Bay. I go to this spot that, you know, I fish 100 times before. There's never been a school there. Well, I'm trolling motor up to the point. I didn't even make it to the point I wanted to get to. And there's 200 fish running under the boat. I was like, okay. Power pole down. Threw two chunks of crab out. They doubled up. Threw two more chunks of crab out. They doubled up again. And I was like, well, we're out of bait. I was like, I looked in the cooler. I still had one Bonita left over. I was like, I don't know if they're going to eat this. I was like, but I started cutting little chunks. little ladyfish chunks of bonita. And I tell you what, them redfish are sucking that down faster than the crab.
Really?
Yes.
So bonita might be the new redfish bait.
Might be the new. I don't know if it was a coincidence, but I'm gonna actually put it to a test here pretty soon.
Well, that's kind of pretty cool. Now, talking a lot about crabs when you get out, you like fishing those a lot.
I love crabs.
Are you typically using them on a jig head or a hook?
Yeah, I use them on a jig head. Reason why is because I don't want my crab to be floating around or moving once I cast it out there. The areas that I'm fishing these crabs, it's very grassy. So, I mean, if you cast your bait out there and if you move your crab at all, it's going to bury in the grass and it's going to get hidden. The redfish will still come and find it, but it's going to be a little harder for them. So what I do is I cast it out there with the jig head. Wherever it hits the water, I give it a little bit of slack. The crab stays right on top of the grass. I don't want it to drift around. You know, I want it to be stationary. I'm trying to draw them to my bait. Crab stinks.
Now, are you using whole blue crabs?
No. I like the bigger ones. Some people like the small crabs, like the little tarpon crabs for redfish. I get the big eaten ones, and I cut them in half, or I cut them in fours, depending on how big it is. I cut it down, right down the middle, get two pieces of bait, then I'll take the legs, I grab the legs, and I peel the top shell off, just to get a lot more scent in the water. You gotta think about it, redfish, they're bottom feeders. So, I mean, what are they gonna come across the majority of the time when they're swimming around the bottom? Crabs. That's, you know, that's their one of their favorite foods. And especially, you know, stinky baits. Redfish are very keen on smell.
Yeah, their eyesight's really bad.
Real bad.
Yeah, but real I mean, bad they eyesight, have, but great sense of smell.
They got little nostrils all over their nose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable how well they could smell.
Picture a bloodhound and you're getting the idea.
I mean, that's why, you know, that bonita might have worked so well yesterday. They're stinky, oily. They kind of remind me like using a Spanish sardine. I've used Spanish sardines for it before.
You know, I have 100 times, yeah.
Yeah, and they work good.
Now, it's kind of a weird premise, but we because humans can't smell underwater, we don't think fish do, and they are big with keen on scent.
Yes.
With redfish with the poor eyesight, maybe from the last, you know, 2 million years of digging around on the bottom, probably, well, we don't really need it that good, you know, or maybe it protects their eyes with a film or something. But the crazy part about it is, now, you're taking the crab, a larger one, say it was the size of your palm. Would you cut that in half or use it whole?
I'd cut it in two.
Cut it in two.
Yep.
Okay, but if it was smaller, say the size of a half a dollar.
I'd crack off half the one corner of his shell, and I'd hook him on the opposite corner.
So you put the hook in one side, and then kind of crush the other side up a bit to get some smell out.
Take your pliers and just crack one whole corner off of that crab shell.
Okay, so palm size, cut them in half, smaller than that, you know, because I guess it's got to fit in their mouth.
Well, redfish got pretty big mouths.
So, you know, but you still, if it's too big, you're getting a lot of hits, but no fish.
Exactly.
So, and then getting over to the other point, I think people get too hung up on fresh, good bait, you know. To me, sometimes the best bait is the one
stinkier.
That's just a little more nasty than it should be.
Leave some shrimp, you know, in a bucket on your deck. Let it get all pink. I've caught a lot of good redfish on it.
It's amazing. But then again, I think about it. And even humans don't like their food fresh. We pay extra money for beef that's been hung.
Yeah. Aged.
Yes, it means decayed. It really does.
Yeah.
We don't want to think of it that way. But really, we're no different than a fish in that aspect. And lions, crocodiles. I mean, I think most of the animal kingdom's almost that way. Except when you're really hungry, you eat whatever you got. But if you have your preference, you know, and you know, it's just kind of funny, but I sometimes I'm way too Sesame Street. You know what I mean? I'm way too, okay, I think too much like a kindergartner. You know, this to me, okay, well, that and that. Well, it's kind of like the same thing, only different. So, but now, let's say somebody called you up and they want to book you for Friday or something. What would be something they should be asking you about taking? What kind of trip would you want to go on if you had your preference to take them out for?
I mean, pretty much right now, I mean, the tarpon, they're doing good. I mean, everything is doing good right now.
What would you want to go fishing for? If somebody
it was up to me, I'm going for redfish.
You're going for redfish.
I mean, literally right now, I mean, there's, especially on this lower water, you could get out into a flat on the east wall, Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, Whitting Creek. Get out into a flat, shut your motor down, and just sit there and drift for, you know, a few minutes. There's a lot of tailing fish on this low water. And that's another reason why I like using crabs so much, because if you take a greenback or, you know, something else...
They swim up.
They swim up, but then at the same time, you can't cast to those tailing fish. When those fish are tailing, they're on high alert. So if you land on top of them, they're going to spook off, take off 100 miles an hour. So like when I'm using crabs, I'm casting 15, 20 feet, you know, from where I see a tail tailing. And then he's going to actually smell that out and come get it. I mean, crabs, my number one bait for redfish.
All right. So, I guess let's go to choice number two. Somebody calls you up and says, you know, what would you suggest, Carl? You say, well, I want to go fishing for redfish. And they say, well, I don't think I want to do redfish. What would be your number two,
The
charter that you would want to do?
Snook right now are going amazing. But I mean, if it was up to me, I'd probably go for sharks. I mean, there's a lot of big sharks running around. I mean, they're fun. I mean, it's not something I would want to do every day, but I mean, it's good, you know, to get out there every now and then, you know, go hook into some big sharks and fight them.
Well, nothing like getting a little beat up.
Yep. I mean, it's
really fun to fight a fish that fights back.
I mean, we had three sharks yesterday bite through 250-pound steelheader.
Wow.
Didn't have a clue what they were. Ooh. Couldn't see them. Nothing.
And that's 250-pound test steel cable.
Yeah.
And they bit through it.
Straight through it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they were. I have no clue at all. I can't even be honest with you. I can't even give you a guess on it.
Well, now, I'm going to say that's the best thing about fishing Charlotte Harbor. Is
you have
people
no clue.
Come in and say, well, I got broke off. Well, what do you think it was? I said, well, it could be this. There are so many fish that are just going to tear your tackle apart. And people say, well, I want to rod and reel where I can stop them. I'm like, well, excuse me, head up to the street. And I think the truck dealer up the road has a tow truck. take the hook, put a smaller one off it, throw your bait on there. Because outside of a tow truck, I don't know a rod and reel that can stop all the fish we have here.
You're not going to stop them out there. I mean, it's a game of inches when you're fighting those big fish. I mean, they're going to take line when they want to take line. Let them take line. And once they stop, then you gain line back.
Yeah. I mean, I've had guys with 130 internationals that come in that we just put 2,000 yards of line on it, and they come back in, I need more line. It's gone.
I mean, literally, I mean, this year is very, very odd. I mean, the tarpon, I mean, they're going off from 41.
Okay, talk a little bit about tarpon. If you were going to go out, where do you think some of the better places for tarpon are?
First thing in the morning when I'm going for tarpon right now, I'm looking up by, like, Colony Point, Bass Inlet. I'm looking on the outside right there. They've been starting up there by the bridge, and then they've been working down towards Alligator Creek Reef. I've seen a lot of good numbers of tarpon over there right now. A lot of big tarpon, small tarpon. It's a big mixed batch.
So you're thinking a lot of them tarpon have now come in from offshore.
Yes.
And because we know they were 40, 50, 60 miles out in the Gulf. And you're thinking a lot of them come back. You think we're going to get some more yet?
Yeah, I really think we're going to get a lot more tarpon here before the end of the year.
Because with everything being so strange, Robert and I were talking about that earlier, and he's kind of thinking, no, this is it. But I don't think so. I think it's been such a screwy year. In other years, I would have said, yeah, this is it. This is all we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. I almost got a hunch that this is going to be a spectacular, like, October bite.
Yes.
I'm not sure September's going to be much better than August, although August is working out pretty good right now. But September could go either way. But I think October is going to be a tremendous tarpon bite.
Yep. I mean, all I've noticed lately, these past couple weeks, our big hand-sized thread fins, they're starting to push back up into the harbor from offshore. I don't understand why.
A lot of fresh water. Don't know. Now, the river's down to 7 foot. But that's still a 5-foot wall of water coming down that river. And the Caloosahatchee's running full blast. The Mayak River's got about half speed going. You know, it's not quite as high up as the Peace, but it's still flowing a lot of water. So it's kind of strange that they're coming up in the harbor.
I mean, it is very strange because the whitebait's starting to push off the east wall. It's getting pretty tough to catch whitebait over the greenbacks on the east wall right now.
I heard there's a bunch of small pinfish over there.
There's actually good pinfish on the east wall right now.
All right, now, how would you rank pinfish among the bait ranking right now?
I've been using a lot of pinfish on a Rockport Rattler. I've been cutting the tails, trimming the tails to get a little scent in the water. But especially when I throw him out there on our Rockport Rattler, he goes to the bottom. And he's shaking his little butt to try to get away from that tension on that jig head, and he's just shaking that little rattler. I've been using a lot of live pinfish for the snook and redfish. Actually, today we caught 6 juvenile tarpon on pinfish. They wouldn't eat the whitebait for some odd reason, but they ate the pinfish.
Now, I've heard that a lot. I've heard for the first time ever the storm swim baits doing a little better than the DOA bait buster.
That bunker color. I mean, the other day we were throwing hand-sized thread fins at these big tarpon for 45 minutes an hour. Couldn't get them to eat. Finally, I walked to the back of the boat, picked up my favorite cobia lure, which is that big storm paddle tail. Threw it out, first cast, I stuck one. I said, everybody reel your rods in, put everybody storm on everybody's rods, and we started hooking them one after another. And good-sized tarpon, too.
I don't know. I don't get it. I honestly, you know, again, it falls down to 2016, El Nino effect, and whether it's political disaster, I mean, you know, look at, we've got Louisiana, and God bless them, and I hope the best for them, and I hate to use them as examples, but here we have massive flooding. I mean, huge, huge floods caused by rain. And a few states over, it is so dry, the state's literally on fire. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know which is worse. I don't know. You know, I'm so used to water. Yeah. I know what to do with water and all that. But the fire terrifies me. Yeah, that's horrific scary stuff. That's end of world stuff there. You know, poor California, I mean, and all the other states that have these fires going. Boy, my heart just goes out to you. That's truly scary stuff. Because with the water, I kind of know if I get stuff up a little higher, you know. But I think water is so much a part of me. I'm afraid of it because I know there's no stopping it. It is the most powerful thing on the planet. But I deal with it better.
We're used to water.
Fire freaks me out, man. I'm telling you, it just...
I'm not a firefighter, you know.
No, I'm not a firefighter. That's somebody else's job, you know. But... to have that extreme differences, and that's the kind of year it's been down here, where the water temperature here in the Gulf of Mexico is the same as Pensacola. I mean, we're a degree off. They finally dropped a couple degrees up there, so a lot of our fish did push up a little bit. How do they know? They're down here, literally minimum 200 miles away, and all of a sudden it gets a little cooler up there, and they take off.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure. I always say life is no Disney movie. You know what I mean? Because let's face it, you watch a Disney movie, they're having their little tea parties, they're talking to each other, the sharks and the, you know, this and that, they're all having fun. And in my vision of the world, you know, if it's bigger than you, it wants to eat you. And that's the same for business, little fish, big fish. You know, the bigger one's going to eat the smaller one, if they can.
Oh, yeah.
But every once in a while, you get a feisty little one.
I mean, we had about a 6-foot shark on yesterday. He almost got eaten.
Really?
Yep. I'm sitting there. I'm following him on the trolling motor. Just keep the front of the boat pointed where the rod was, where the fish was. Next thing you know, the lady there on the boat, she starts yelling, "Oh my gosh! Look at the size of that!" I turn around. We're about 8-9 foot shark swimming behind bull shark swimming behind the boat. I was like, "Uh-oh! It's about to go down." You know, he's probably coming for that shark. Which is a little big. I've seen them go after smaller ones, you know, like little 3-4 footers. I've seen bigger sharks come for them, but I mean, it was pretty scary. I thought that shark was going to get eaten.
Wow.
And then me and Mike are sitting there, and I hear Mike yelling up a storm on his boat. And I'm like, I yell over to him because we were only 20, 30 yards apart. And he's like, I got 5 or 6 cobia sitting under the boat, 40 inches or plus. And the funny thing about it was when he his motor was on, when he put it in neutral, the cobia would lower down. They would disappear. As soon as he put his motor in gear, those cobia would come up and get right in his prop wash.
He was in reverse?
No, he was in forward.
Oh.
And he couldn't get him to eat nothing. He was dropping ladyfish chunks.
So they were behind the boat.
Yeah.
Just wanting to hang out in the prop
just
wash.
Just hang out in the prop. Every time he kicked it in gear, they'd raise up. And literally, I didn't believe him. He's like, I'm going to drive right by my idle right past your boat. Look at him. And sure as heck, he idled by the boat. And there those cobia were right on his prop wash. He was dropping ladyfish, mullet, lures, everything. The only thing we didn't try was shrimp. When neither one of us had shrimp on the boat that day.
Wow.
And they were big cobia.
All right. Maybe the prop wash was cool. Like a breeze. Maybe sitting in front of a fan.
Mike says it pays off that he doesn't wash the bottom of his boat ever. And I said, man, I'm going to start doing that.
You're not allowed not to wash your boat.
Yeah, I know. My boat stays clean. Yes. you got that into me now.
You just get your telephone skills, and you're going to be pretty much spot on. Okay. It's the old guy in me. You know, these young people come up, and you're like, no, you got to do this. And they just look at you like, yeah, old guy, shut up.
They know. They've been through it.
So, anyway, it's, like I say, I'm just amazed. I tend to ramble on about how weird things are, but...
I mean, the flounder are schooled up right now?
And the flounder, you know, we spent years here with no flounder at all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, pretty much the whole time, until, oh, God, about 6 years ago, We finally started getting some flounder back when we had that drought, that drought thing. And I'm praying for a drought this winter.
So am I.
I know nobody in the right mind prays for a drought, but... I'm going to give Charlotte County credit. They did a great job with the water reservoirs. Yes. We've got a lot of extra water. We can handle a six-month drought.
Oh, yeah.
We can do that. Our county can. I don't know if the other counties can. I'm going to say Charlotte County is much better prepared than most of them. And that's unusual because, let's face it, our county, not so much. I mean, give them a pack of bubble gum and you got a cartoon going, you know. But I will say I know a lot of the guys out at the Water Authority, and they got it through, and they got a really good thing going. But if we can get a drought, one of the things that makes Charlotte Harbor so clean is everything goes to nice saltwater part of the year, and there's no freshwater left. It just turns entirely salt.
Crystal clear.
Which kills all of the freshwater algae, most of the bacteria, everything else. And then vice versa, once it all floods with freshwater, it kills all the saltwater algae, saltwater bacteria, and it never has a chance to build up like some areas do. Yeah. We have this built-in safeguard. Well, it never quit raining. It's going to take at least 6 months of no rain, no water flow down those rivers to fix what's going on here. Let the Gulf take it back. Yeah. Let the salt water move in. They found a new algae. They don't even know what it is on Pine Island Sound.
Really?
Yeah, it's not like a red tide. It's just an algae. But you saw what, you know, from the canals here that turned to jello from algae top to bottom, and the algae buildup on the East Coast, how bad an algae bloom can be.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to get this fresh water gone. It needs to stop raining and not rain for 6 months.
Yeah.
And don't water your lawn, folks. Brown grass looks just as good as green grass.
Just think, you don't have to cut it as often.
Right. You water it, you got to cut it.
Yeah. A lot of work.
Yeah. You know, fertilizer,
it's too hot for that right now.
Fertilizer is for people who, you know, and no one in their right mind sits in the grass in Florida.
Yeah.
I've said this a few times on the show. The first thing I do when I get north, up just kind of at the northern end of the south or into the actual north, I want to stop the car, go sit in the grass somewhere. I mean, it's wonderful to actually be able to go there, sit in the grass, you lay back, it feels good, it's wonderful. But you come to Florida and do that, you're out of your mind.
Yep.
When I drive by my house, to me it looks good. Now, mind you, I do need glasses, but it's green. Now, it's crabgrass and weeds, but there's no fertilizer, environmentally friendly, nothing kills it.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you ain't killing that stuff in my yard. You've mowed my grass. Yeah. There's no grass there, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it once it's all same level, it looks good.
Yeah, you're driving by, you know, 25 miles an hour, you can't tell the difference.
Oh, no.
So,
I mean, it is a very odd idea. I mean, we have a lot of pompano here right now, too.
What's up with the pompano?
There's a bunch over by Alligator Creek. I mean, it was weird the other day, me and my clients, because they were up from up north, and I was asking them, I was like, have you ever seen those Asian carp up there? And they were like, yeah, you know, it's pretty bad, and we got on that topic. Well, then we were on the way back, you know, from down by, like, Burnt Store, Pirate Harbor area, and I'm driving through Alligator Creek. Next thing you know, pompano started jumping everywhere. I had two jump in my boat.
And guy had to be freaking out.
The guy looks at me, he's like, you had to start talking about Asian carp. I was like, well, you guys got two, you know, two nice pompano to bring home tonight. But, I mean, there's pompano.
I never put that together because the carp thing's a horrible thing. Yes. These guys go through in Illinois and all these states right along the Mississippi and stuff up there. That's nasty. I mean, mm-hmm. They say it's really cool to watch, except you can't drive your boat because you get hurt. You have to wear a motorcycle helmet or a faceplate on it.
They have cages on their boats up there.
You know, and I feel bad for them. But I never thought about somebody seeing pompano skipping would go Asian carp in their head.
It was crazy. I had two jump in the boat. I mean, it was ridiculous. I ran a bunch over there by Alligator Creek. That's where that happened, right at the mouth of Alligator Creek. I seen some last week at Turtle Bay Bar.
You know, and every once in a while, boys and girls out there, I will tell you about somebody. I talk about Danny Latham quite a bit as somebody who is just actually born to do what he's doing. You know, the minute some people are born, there's a guiding force that if they could just do this job, that's the job they were meant to do. You're another one like that, Carl. You drive along on a charter and fish jump in your damn boat.
That happened a lot.
I'm sorry, Carl. That's a little too weird for us mere mortal humans.
Well, I mean, yeah, it makes it easy. People don't have to get up. The fish just jump in the boat and put them in the cooler.
Yeah. All right. I mean, if anybody out there, you're welcome to email me or call the store with comments for Captain Carl and his. Yeah, that rod and reel stuff is that's just for normal people.
But I mean, it's a very odd year. I mean, we have trout moving in already. There's a lot of good trout running around right now too.
Okay, now I keep hearing about them on the east side, but I'm going with very sporadic because
a lot of small ones over there.
Well, I got, let's say, five customers go fishing for them. One will have a great day. Two will have an okay day, and two ain't gonna find them. You know,
There's been a lot in front of Turtle Bay Bar too. There's actually been some good sized ones there. Pine Island Sounds had some really nice trout. It's odd. I mean, I'm catching those flounder right now on paddle tails. Throwing a paddle tail, just slowly bouncing it off the bottom.
Really?
Yep. I mean, I'm not even using shrimp. I'm throwing artificial for them. I'm 100% sure the shrimp or, you know, greenbacks would work, but you know, why go through all the hassle when you could throw artificial? You know, save yourself some time, hassle, trying to find bait and everything else like that. But, I mean, lures are working great. First thing this morning, we had 15 redfish on the boat this morning before I even went through the net. We ran out. I went to this area where I found a bunch of redfish hanging out. We started throwing topwaters first thing this morning.
Really?
By 7.
Okay. Topwaters. What were you using for topwater lures?
I was using Bone SL. Bone SL Zero Spook.
No, the one I can't get for another 2 weeks. We actually bought them out.
Wow.
Yeah.
that redfish color works good too. On the Bone SL. I mean, not the Bone SL.
Tell me your phone number, Carl.
941-565-7325.
Okay, 565-7325, 941-565-7325. And he will answer the phone, and if he doesn't, and you leave a message and he doesn't call back, call me. I will literally beat him with a fishing pole.
He will too.
Yes. I'm not kidding. So we're all gonna make Carl better with his phone stuff. We're all gonna help.
That's my last thing I gotta work on.
Yes. Okay. So now go back to, I don't remember what we were talking about. You were talking about, we had done Flounder, Pompano. What were you just saying? I can't back this up and tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I think it was
oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Trout?
Yeah, trout. Okay. You were throwing bonus owls. Top order for fishing for trout is one of the most fun things. Yep. They love hitting the top waters, but they love hitting at them.
Oh, it's fun.
This is a fish that, you know, when I was doing charters and I was fishing every day, all day, I'd have 2-3 trips a day, and then I'd get to go out and relax and goof off. We would actually see how often we could pull the lure away from the fish when he hit it. I think my record is like 15 or 16 hits on a single cast.
I like to take the hooks off the top water.
It's no fun. You got to get good enough so when you see him strike, well, you snatch it away.
Yeah. I mean, actually,
if you mess up, you get a fish.
The one kid I had on the boat today, he's like, man, he goes, I'd really like to get some snappers to bring home. So I went to a snapper spot. One guy, he's up in front of the boat whacking snapper left and right. And then the one guy that wanted to go to the snapper spot, he's sitting on the side of the boat, literally hanging down a greenback in the water. It'd swim around. You'd watch the snook come up, and he'd lift it out of the water. He'd lower it back down. All the snook would raise up, try to eat it. He'd pick it out of the water. And I was like, are you going to catch that fish? He goes, I'm just teasing him. He goes, I'm making him work hard for it. So actually, when we left that spot, I felt so bad for those snook because he was just teasing him so bad. I took a net full of bait and I dumped it right there so the snook could eat. I mean, he was sitting there. He put it in the water on the side of the boat, lift it up, put it in the water, lift it up. And these snook were just, I mean, you could tell they were getting so pissed off because they wanted it so bad. And he was just messing with them. That's what he was doing. I mean, I was dying laughing. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, just playing. I was like, all right.
Now, just so, when you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to hire a captain, and we're going to go out fishing, and this is how it's going to go, your day on the boat. And now I want you to remember these talks we have with Captain Carl. And you're welcome to go on Carl's boat, but please keep the fish teasing to a minimum, you know.
I mean, heck, fish like to eat too. Somebody's got to feed them and get them bigger. But I mean, I've also been doing, I've been walking the boat a lot lately.
Walking the boat.
Yep, we've been getting a lot of low water.
Come here, boat. Come on.
Well, I've been getting, you know, we've been having a lot of low water lately, and in these areas where I'm fishing right now for redfish, it's very grassy. If I put my trolling motor in the water and turn it on, it's chopping up the grass. And I'm literally watching these fish pick up and push away from me.
Well, it's bad two ways. One, you're chopping up grass. Yep. Two, you're, scaring fish.
Yep. I mean, literally, I mean, they'll keep pushing away from you, picking up, pushing away from you, picking up, pushing away from you. So, I mean, I jump in the water. It doesn't bother me any. I jump in, and I'll start pulling the boat through the flats while my people are on the boat casting. I mean, it actually keeps me cool throughout the day doing that, too, so.
I just have pictures because I've known you've been throwing a cast net and falling off the boat. You've been casting and falling off the boat.
Oh, yeah.
I could keep going on with that. Yeah. But that's part of being on a boat.
Oh, yeah. I go in the water a lot, whether I want to or not.
It's been one of the reasons I was a successful captain and booked so many days so often was I would do that because I would know there's fish back over there. No way to get there unless you get your, you know, get your butt out of the boat, get in the back, and push that darn thing. Have your customers get to the boat as flat as possible, and then just push it up in there to get to the fish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the captains cannot physically do that. Yes. They're just physically not capable of it. And other captains just afraid of it, and some captains are just too lazy.
Yeah.
Too lazy. You know, I'm not getting wet. I don't want to get dirty. Well, I remember I was pulling into one place, and there's all these other charter boats there, and they're all clean and beautiful and everything. And we come pulling in, we'd had a heck of a day, and the boat is trashed. I mean, there's scales, there's slime, there's even a little bit of fish blood. My customers are all, and they looked over and they went, "Who's that guy? I want to go with him. Look at his boat. They're all trashed. I mean, they look like hell. I want to go on that boat."
Oh, yeah.
Believe me, did not make me popular with a bunch of those captains. No.
But, I mean, you were doing what you had to do to get your clients on fish.
That's all it's about. Because I was talking to another good friend of mine, Bo Johnson, another charter boat captain, and this morning. And you either go the extra mile, you burn the extra gas, you get out of the boat. There's, you know, these are the things you, if you, it's, are you worried about your profit or are you worried about your customer?
Yeah.
Period. You know, that's all it boils down to.
I mean, it's about being out there making your clients happy, making them joke, laugh, have a good time. I mean, it's, you know, a lot, they do see that. If you do go out the extra mile, they do see it. They, because, you know, a lot of these people, they go on multiple charters with different captains and stuff. And, you know, they'll, if they have a great day and they see that, you know, somebody's going the extra mile, even if you don't have a great day on the water and don't catch a lot of fish, they're probably going to come back to you because they see that you're going the extra mile. You know, you're,
everybody has bad days.
Oh, everybody does.
But, you know, it just boils down to it. And one thing, I know I got a charter boat captain sitting right here. When you first come to Florida and you're going to go out, my best recommendation is not to hire the same captain a bunch of times in a row. I'm sorry, Carl, but...
Oh, no, that's... Yeah,
for
right.
me, when somebody's coming out, especially somebody who's thinking about moving here, you should hire a captain, like, hire Captain Carl, and then hire Mike Myers, because two different, vastly different boats. They fish in different areas. You want to have a different experience with different captains. In, you know, like you go down south and you can hire Matt or Bo or Danny or whatever and fish those way south, and you can hire Carl to fish this area here, and then you could hire Mike to fish the near shore. But when you go to talk to these guys, talk to them for a minute, find out where you're going, and you don't want to go to the same place. You don't want to ride in the same kind of boat.
No. I mean, especially if you're looking at, you know, eventually buying a boat. You know, you could go on different types of boats and actually see what style that you like.
And going to school, because, you know, you're getting a fishing trip, you're going to school, you're learning stuff, and after you've been out with one or two, and in some cases, I would think that, you know, you would go out with Carl, you'd have a great time, and you try these other boats and other captains, and you would, I actually think
well,
you would come back to
learn
to Carl,
a lot more.
But I think they would come back to you and hire you again and do that. But it also allows them to see what other people do.
Everybody has a different technique.
And everybody has good days, bad days. And it should never be really judged on the amount of fish you catch. It should be judged on the amount of fun you have and the learning experience you're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking to buy a boat, good God, you know, you're hiring the captains anyway. Why are you riding in the same darn boat every day?
Exactly.
Get in a couple of different boats, test ride.
Because everybody fishes a different way, and, you know, a lot of people are very successful in their ways, you know, but
words a tough thing today?
So, yeah.
I'm telling you, I have stumbled over more words that I should just be able to enunciate without problem
That's all, folks. But, I mean, everybody has their own techniques, and, you know, different techniques do work. I mean, it's... You're learning more by going with different captains. You know, you're learning his technique, then you're learning the next guy's technique. And actually,
I don't even know if it's about the technique. I don't know if that's what I'd be looking for. I want to see different areas. I want to see the upper end of the harbor, Pine Island Sound. I want to see the near Gulf. I'd like to see Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. And you fish almost all those areas.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you do get a different boat experience and stuff because you like to use Rockport Rattlers.
Yep.
You catch so many fish, it works, it's your thing. And then you get somebody who just uses a hook.
Yeah.
And then you got another guy who's using mostly popping corks. And it's amazing how captains are no different than the kind of the rest of the public. When you find something that works, it's kind of your default.
Yeah.
And then you got a variant from there because you've come in, bought water-fillable casting bubbles, yep, and little hooks to get fish in those shallow grass areas. We have, you and I have, I don't remember how many different things we've had to work together so you could, because you say, I know there's all these fish, they're right there, and yep, I can't get them to bite. And we try to come up with a game plan that'll work. But what I mean by the jig heads is it's the default. This is my first attempt because this is what I have the most success with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting a crab on a Rockport rattler, a shrimp under a popping cork with a Rockport rattler. You know, you've worked this technique out with the extra sound and everything else that it is truly a coral technique.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, a regular J hook or a circle hook with a split shot.
Oh, and you use
same
that
concept.
But you use that many times. But you have your thing. That mm-hmm is your passion, your niche in the world. And it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. But I don't know, you know, to me, if that's what I was thinking. You know, I was... But you're right. I guess it's good. Maybe I'm being argumentative today because I was telling them guys, no, that didn't do it. You did. That was not what I was looking for. Fail. Didn't convince me at all. Okay, so I might be a tad grouchy today. Could be.
It's, you know, it's the beginning of the week.
And actually, it is. Maybe that's what it is. I took yesterday off.
Yeah.
I did. I took yesterday off. I'm actually... This is a Monday for me.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I never get those. I should be, like, enjoying this grouchy, nasty bit, you know. I should be, you know, enjoying this. I don't get Mondays.
Yep.
I actually am having a Monday. All right. This is cool. I didn't work all weekend. You know, I worked one day on the weekend. That was good. All right. Boy, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
It kind of goes along with the Pompano cook thing, you know.
Yeah.
I never associated the pompano skipping out of the water with the carp jumping out.
Yeah, I mean,
I love to see pompano skipping out of the water. I would like to see the carp thing. I'm going to go to Illinois soon, hire a captain, say, take me out in the river, let's do some combat fishing. You know what I mean? Come on, 25 mile an hour, I'm bringing a baseball bat. I got a Louisville slugger, I'm going to find out. Yes, I'm going to kill me a fish. I don't care.
Wear a football
suit. Greenpeace bite me. You know? I'm going to see if I can, third base, batter up! I just have that in my head. I know I'm a terrible human being. I'm horrible. But I just think, come on, I'm going to get to go
fun.
Fishball.
Yep.
Fishball, I got to do it.
It would be fun.
And if they hit the ground, I kill them and I can find them, I'll clean them and eat them.
Oh,
if it's possible.
Oh, yeah.
If it's not, I'll just feed it. I don't know. When I was in Europe and in Austria, I was doing a big show in Austria. And right next to us was a big carp fishing club, and that was some of the best fish eating I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, it was literally amazing. The club had carp there, and they were cooking it right there in the booth at the show, and you know that's how they were making money, selling carp dinners and stuff like that. I was amazed. I literally ate that at least once, if not twice, every day for 9 days. We did that show in Austria.
Wow.
It wasn't in Vienna. I think it was in Graz. Yeah, it was in Graz. We were in Graz. It was the second time we were in Graz, and they showed up. They weren't there the first year we went. The second year we were there, they were there, and several years after that. But every year they were there, I always made sure at least once a day I had the carp. Oh yeah, it was really good.
Wow.
But now I don't remember if I ever ate carp here in the States.
I never have.
I don't think I ever did. I don't know. I know. What I had in Europe was amazing, and that was in Austria, and like I say, it was in Graz.
Now, are they the same carp that we have here?
I would have to think so. I don't know. Maybe a different subspecies, and these Asian carp are definitely not the same thing.
Yeah, no.
They're definitely not going to be the same thing. So maybe they're nasty, maybe they're wonderful. I guess we'd have to get somebody to tell us.
I'm pretty sure they'd be good for like fertilizer or something.
Good for something.
Or shark bait or something. Some type of something.
I guess I really should be sitting here, you know, fishing Frank, the environmental guy, the eco guy. I'm going to play fishball, batter up, whack. I don't know, it sounds like fun.
It does. It really does sound like fun.
You know, I'm really... You know, I'm not that good a person. I try to be, but you know, I did have a past. You know, I would like to think I'm becoming more evolved, but I know my ancestors were troglodytes. There's no doubt in my mind. I didn't get the Neanderthal bit, you know, where they had the nice community families. My ancestors went right from troglodyte right into, you know, they didn't skip a whole lot, right from there to the 70s, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, look at me, the fur. Yeah, okay. Yes, I guess I'm pretty primitive. All right. But anyway, is there anything else we should talk about fishing-wise?
I mean, on the high water right now, the best advice I could give you is go to the mangroves, look for your most shaded areas on your high water. On your low tides, you know, they're going to be out in the flats or in deeper water because there's not enough water to get underneath the mangroves on the low tide. I've been actually using a lot of cut bait, you know, crabs especially. When the water goes low, that's what I'm using, is cut bait. Because they're pushed out in the flats and they're out there, you know, running around looking for food. But on the high tide, they're up under the mangroves sitting still. So that's where I'm using more of my white bait and my live pinfish. But I mean, that's best advice I can give you right now. I mean, that's exactly what I'm doing. High water, I'm using live bait. Low water, I'm going to cut bait.
All right.
Shrimp has been working very good, too, for just about everything.
Do you have an email address?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know why I don't know it.
kbugin@gmail.com.
Okay, I'll get it figured out. I gotta make
sure
it's on that
page. Yeah, that last name's a tough one.
No, I mean, I actually think I know how to spell it. B-U-T-I-G. No, I don't.
Oh, you were close.
B-U-I-T-I?
No, you had it right.
B-U-T-I-G-A-N.
I-A-N.
I-A-N, okay.
Yeah. Told you it's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, mine's Hamama. You know,
hey, we're both right there.
And then we got Robert. We call him Smith. It's spelled L-U-G-I-E-W-I-C-Z. That's how Robert spells Smith. So, anyway, yeah. So I guess that's gonna call about a head to this radio fishing. And Captain Carl, the crowd loves you, buddy. Yes. Oh, yeah. The studio audience, they just love you, man. All right. And I appreciate you being here.
Yes, sir.
And as always, Fish and Frank in the chair here, whether you like it or not. Well, if you didn't like it, you wouldn't be listening, you know.
Oh, they are.
Someone's listening.
You get taught, and then you also get comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, people think I'm kind of a joke. I get that. I understand how it works.
It's a good time.
Yeah, I'm all good with it. Okay. Radio Fishing. This is a Fish and Frank production, and it is a federally trademarked Fish and Frank production, by the way, as well as Fish and Frank is a federal trademark. So, I would like to say thank everybody for listening. I don't know why I threw that in. I haven't had any problems lately.
Just to throw it out there.
Just to throw it out there, yeah. Learned a while back, better to be legal. So, as Fish and Frank's here in the chair, Captain Carl and chair across me, his phone number's right there. Kim McCall, he is fun to fish with. Bye-bye.
Thank you.